Trafficking, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. In terms of the two follow-up questions, gender budgeting wasn't included as part of Budget 2024. The time frames for the budget process as part of that process were different than they had been formerly. That was partly around the timing of the election and the formation of the new government. We do, however, through our budget process, include the opportunity for agencies to set forward what the impacts are of proposed initiatives on population groups, and that's part of the standard process. Also, with regard to the National Action Plan for Women, you're right in that we included in our July 2023 report that work was underway. It's not a current priority for the Minister for Women. That work wasn't concluded. Our current priorities with the Minister, like I said, don't currently include that. That doesn't mean to say that it's not something that would be picked up in the future. If I could then move on to the discussion about negative stereotypes of women, and I also want to acknowledge the really important role that the Gender Attitude Survey plays. It gives a really rich information, and I'd like to acknowledge the National Council for Women and their role in having that in place. It's now been in place since 2017 and is on a two-yearly cycle, and our expectation is that it will happen again in 2025. And it's a survey that the Ministry for Women provides some financial support for. I would like to speak in a bit more detail, though, to the questions that the committee member raised around the media, and I'd also like to touch on sport. But before I do that, I'd like to just loop back to the campaign I mentioned earlier that the Islamic Women's Council of New Zealand has in place. And the name of their campaign is CHILL, and that stands for Challenge Islamic Language and Loathing. So they're really leaning into that space, and I want to recognise them for that leadership, their leadership there. In terms of the role of sport in combating gender stereotypes, I think that it's been quite powerful. Like I said earlier in my opening statement, the FIFA Women's World Cup, which we co-hosted in 2023 with Australia, that was quite a turning point for the level of visibility of women athletes in the media. And from work that Sports New Zealand did, at the time the tournament was on, women's sport accounted for 46% of all news over that period, which is quite a shift in our nation. But what we've also seen is that the depth and types of coverage of women athletes has also changed. So the topics of discussion have broadened with an increase on training, preparation and results, while female athletes previously had to work quite hard to generate media interest, there's a growing proportion of coverage with narratives that suggest a sort of deeper acknowledgement of their of them as women athletes in a more professional sense, and also a real reduction in sexualised images of athletes, with that very much coming down in the media. Links me to the media. So obviously the media plays a really important role in achieving equality and empowering women and girls, and that includes through non-discriminatory and gender-sensitive coverage, and by eliminating gender stereotypes in the work that they do. We have a Broadcasting Standards Authority that does monitor standards for broadcasters, and part of what they look at is whether something is in good taste and decent. The Broadcasting Standards Authority has issued new guidance for broadcasters and complaints in relation to television and radio coverage of gender identity issues. The new guidance acknowledges the right for women to be free from discrimination in terms of how they are represented in the media. Where do I go now? I'd now like to hand to my colleague Emma Powell, who will pick up the questions around family violence, sexual violence and gender-based violence.